Okay.
Oh,
I made a change.
Something came through. Yeah.
Wait a second.
I'm getting double audio. Right. Who could it be? Oh, I'm hearing myself on Skype.
Okay, yeah, actually, I think...
Echoed back to me. The cat's here to figure. He's here to help if he can. This is one of those silly cat videos.
Yeah, I can watch Jeff talking, but I can't hear him.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Now I got you.
Oh, I made a jump again.
Yeah, okay. There you go, Jeff.
Okay, we got all kinds of echoes. That's probably a good sign.
Yeah, it is. So I can shut this thing off or be mute or something. You're fine on YouTube, which everybody can get into. That's wonderful. Whoops, I think you lost you. No, I didn't. I just turned you down.
Okay,
how much lag time is there?
In the audio version, we're going to edit this out. Okay.
Yeah, your lag on that is about a minute.
Do you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear something.
I can hear you double. I'm not sure Robert's looking confused.
Well, I was having trouble getting on. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Yeah, I had forgotten how to do this. In fact, I guess I haven't done it using my desktop computer before. The last time I was trying, my operating system was too old. But that's been updated since my son was here in May. So where is everybody?
Well,
I mean, look, geographically.
Let me explain all that. But, oh, good, the echo's disappeared. I think it has, yeah. Okay, so this is August 10th. This is a learning together session. We're learning how to run a Hangout and stream it through Skype, because Jeff is managing the wizardry. My cat is managing to confuse things. He's over here. Okay, and I'm not managing much of anything. And join us. Yeah. So, and John Hibbs is in the Skype call. Yeah.
And if I can jump in here, I assume, John, you are not able to hear Robert.
No, I think I only heard you, but I think I heard, and now I just have to turn that up. There's such a long lag time in the Google, on YouTube.
Correct.
That it's hard to, you're about a minute behind the real-time conversation.
Right, so
and,
for
oh,
you...
I haven't heard anyone else in the text chat room. But
right.
I only see Peggy in text chat.
I would suggest not listening to that YouTube. Mute the YouTube. If you want to see the video, you can, but that's
right.
Sort of just a little nothing feature. Robert, if you want to communicate with audio, you can stay in the Hangout, but you can mute yourself in the Hangout, and we'll bring you in via Skype. So if you have Skype open, hopefully, or can open it, and let us know your Skype ID, we'll call you, we'll bring you in that way so everyone can hear everybody.
Okay.
What can we do about the echo?
Once Robert mutes, I think that will take care of itself.
Oh, okay.
You still hear me? I thought I muted it. It says it's mute. Or maybe, wait a minute. Mute microphone, okay.
In that case, Vance, maybe you need to mute the Hangout or not listen to the Hangout.
Yeah, it's not letting me mute.
Oh, no, what about your Skype? Can you let us know your Skype ID?
Left group chat.
Okay. And just address Peggy's comment in the chat room. I'm not feeling like a wizard. I'm feeling like a very rusty Wizard. It's been a while since I've gotten so lazy with Google Hangouts on Air. They're so easy. I feel like I'm back in the days of virtual audio cables and wires sticking out of everywhere.
Well, we're demonstrating the subject of our topic today, which is patching digital hangouts via voice with a phone call, which actually happens to be on Skype. And we're sort of addressing the problem of what to do if you have people in your conversation that you want to bring in from a phone. John has an excellent solution. He said there was something. What's the name of that this website?
Well, it's a phone room conversation. It's called MrConference.com. And but they don't provide a stream. But we, in the old days, we hooked it up to a stream somehow. The Jeff LeBeaus of the old days, they managed the stream, and the stream came into the telephone conference room, so anyone could, and it was free, and anyone that wanted to could be listening to the stream, or they could talk on the stream. Just a lag time, or they could. They were presenters were encouraged telephone conference, but he had the same telephone.
We need to bring Rita into Skype. Oh, she just popped up.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Okay.
Is that Jeff?
Yes, long time no talk.
Yeah, so long. How are you?
This is like the old days on Skype.
Yeah, true. Where's John?
Right here.
John?
I'm here right away.
Oh, hello, John. So long.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got older.
That's true. Though we don't like it, but that's the truth.
Not my profile picture. Young as ever.
Hey, you know, my thought is that all those people that have Skype, they would just as easily use Skype to get into the telephone room, and then they wouldn't be any lag time. And the only problem is, it's for you geniuses to figure out how to get all the voices that were in the telephone room out to the internet on a stream that easily could be accessed. And which unfortunately really isn't Hangout, because you have to have most recent browsers, and that means a pretty updated computer. So I don't think I'm alone that can't get into Hangout.
So you do like the Hangouts, don't you, John?
What's that?
You do like Hangouts. I mean, it's a little bit better than the radio, I'm sorry to say, because we can see each other, so we are just a little closer to each other, I guess.
Well, Rita, I'm old, so I still like the telephone. In fact, I don't know many people that don't like their smartphones more than they like everything.
Okay, well, yeah. In fact, that reminds me of the radio and the difference between the radio and the television. I do prefer the radio, though.
Yeah, that's very true. So I think there's a definite link between those who like to write and those who like to listen versus those who like to watch. But I don't find anything very pretty about looking at Jeff LeBeau over YouTube. He's just not my kind of good-looking woman.
I can't disagree with that.
But if you saw me instead, you'd really hang up in a hurry.
Well, I would like to see you. I mean, Jeff and John and Vance. But we're on the phone right now, aren't we?
But there is value to the video. For example, I can see right now a look of confusion on Robert's face as he's thinking, wait, what's going on? Why? What can I don't know what's going on. Robert, can we hear you in the Skype chat?
Jeff?
Probably. You might be able to hear me through both. I don't know.
We do hear you through Skype.
I think Peggy says in the text chat that there is no echo. She's not directly answering my question.
There is a little bit of an echo.
It might be coming because Robert right now is producing audio without a headset.
Okay.
I'm using my built-in.
Do you have
microphone on my
for listening? That would probably help.
It says he's
okay,
muted.
I can try.
He's muted. Not on Skype.
Guys, I'd like to see you. I mean, where should I go to see you live?
Oh my God. Echo. Okay.
This really is like
headphones are coming.
I've got an idea.
I think once Robert plugs it in, we're going to be okay.
It's plugged in.
Okay. Yes, the echo disappeared.
Oh,
okay.
But Robert is echoing.
I'm echoing. I can hear myself after I speak.
As Robert
I'm not
speaks,
hearing that echo, so I have a feeling possibly the YouTube is still on, or you're still hearing it through the Google Hangout.
Jeff, okay. As we speak,
how about now?
I see that you're giving sound. You're producing sound while I'm speaking. But that's,
I am producing all the sound in the Hangout, because what I'm doing, true. All the Skype audio is going to the Hangout.
Now,
which you
that
don't
means that we're
hear
listening
it.
In Skype and in the Hangout.
And that's why you and Robert hear a bit of an echo. So what you do is...
That both open.
Okay, so we have to mute Skype somehow.
Mute Hangout. Maybe
I want to be in the Hangout just to see you, despite John's wishes. I would like to be on a Hangout. Where should I join you? Because here we're now on Skype, right?
I'll put that link into the Skype chat.
Now, what okay. I think I should do is use Skype on another computer.
Yeah, that makes life a lot easier.
Okay, so
what you can do on the Google Hangout is change your audio settings. If you go to your settings and choose a speaker, that's not going to work, or you're not going to hear.
And Google choose a speaker that I'm not going to hear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You go to your audio setting, you choose default or something else. Something else.
I got it. So, okay, so I can... put this away. See what I can do.
And Rita, you're going to want to do the same thing in the Hangout, because if you start getting audio... And she's gone from the Hangout.
Right here.
Can
so
I be heard?
Skype and on the Hangout at the same time from the same computer.
You can, but you somehow have to get rid of the Hangout audio.
Okay. And how to do that?
If you go to the Hangout audio settings.
Yeah.
In fact, let me go ahead and. Oh, I can't screen share it in Skype. go to your audio settings in Hangout. And you have different playback options, this speaker, that speaker. Choose a speaker maybe that you're not going to hear.
Okay.
Okay, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to hang up the Skype here. Can you call me back? And then
yes.
I will answer on the other computer.
Roger that.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Wait, was that a yes?
Yeah, that is a yes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh my God, Jeff, you look so stern right there. It's hard to believe. Jeff, are you on two computers?
I am on a computer and a phone. A phone.
No way. Oh, that's great.
Okay, I think that worked, Rita. We hear you. Do you hear an echo?
No, I can't hear anybody.
You don't hear us in Skype?
I can't hear Vance. Is he talking?
Vance is offline, but can you hear me, Rita?
Oh, but I can hear an echo. So I should be closing Skype, I guess.
No, 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 don't close Skype. If you have to close something, close the Hangout.
Okay, close the Hangout then.
But it was nice to see you.
Yeah, I'd like to see you as well.
Hey, Jeff, was that Peggy or Rita?
That's Rita.
Oh, okay. She's not in the text chat room.
And I go to settings and I can't, for some reason, I can't make it. Voice, let me see. No, no, no.
I thought that was Rita. Rita's my
microphone.
Favorite.
So
how do I mute myself, Noah?
I can mute you in, I've muted you in the Hangout, so we're not hearing you. But then in the Hangout.
Yeah, but
have,
I'm hearing you three
correct.
Times.
So you need to, in the Hangout, go to the audio settings.
Yeah, I'm going to my settings.
And so you have the webcam settings, the speaker settings, and the player settings. Try to choose something in your player settings that you won't hear.
I'm fine.
I think you can hear me okay now.
Yes, and are you living without an echo?
Yes, I am.
No way.
Which is coming from my computer.
And I think I can't be heard, right? Nobody can hear me.
I hear you.
This is Robert. Nobody can hear Robert? Or yes, you, is somebody answering me? Oh, yeah, I heard myself echoing.
You have to be audio. If you're in the Hangout, you must be audio engaged in Skype. On a different computer. It's not going to work, I don't think, from the same computer. Because unless as you can do as Jeff suggests, go to the settings and disable the speaker on just on Hangout. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is possible to do it on the same computer, but it depends on your audio setup. And I feel like I should preface this whole thing by saying this really is not a desirable setup. This was a plan D. And I take responsibility because I thought that the Hangout on Air was able to invite people by phone. But as it turns out, Hangouts can do it, but not Hangouts on Air.
I see.
Yeah. I don't know why that is.
You know, I'd rather go to the Hangouts on Air and stop Skype. Why not?
Because we want to include John in by phone.
Yeah, see, there's nothing, there's no audio going on in Hangout except what's being streamed through from Skype. Jeff is streaming into Hangout from Skype. We're talking in Skype. And the problem is, if you're listening, I've got it on two computers now. So I've got Skype on over here. This is another computer. So I've got Skype here. And the audio is coming from there as well, so I'm audio connected now, and meanwhile I'm staring into the other computer, which has a Hangout on it. I wonder if Peggy is entertained by all this.
And it makes me wonder about the essential question of the evening, which is, I don't know, the essential question, but one of the questions is, you know, how to broaden the conversation and how to include people who want to join in by phone and not necessarily by Hangout or by whatever multimedia tool. And there are some tools that bridge the gap, but not a lot. Like a lot of the phone conferences are phone conferences, and they work well as just phone. And the multimedia, you know, the Adobe Connects and the Google Hangouts on Air are very computer or smartphone friendly, but not as especially for good old phone line.
Yeah, and what we like to do, you know, we're not webinars in the sense that we don't broadcast one down. There's quite a lot going on online at the moment. There's several MOOCs going on. And when you go to the sessions, there's text chat, but they don't, they're always talking to you. So you're listening to someone and don't really have a chance to really have a conversation, which I think Jeff and I really love to have conversations. And that's actually what we're finding tonight. Is John with us, by the way?
Right, I'm here, and I think that the whole purpose of convening people is so if it's only going to be a one-way conversation, then you might as well record it and people can watch or listen at their convenience on their computer, laptop, device, whatever. But if they want to, the whole purpose of this is to have a live, interactive exchange and to make
yes.
that as easy and as simple as one can, I believe, and make it accessible. And my theory has always been, and I've, you know, I've had a lot of pushback from a lot of people, why are you using a telephone conference? Well, because even in the very earliest days, we found that we could have somebody provide a stream for us and put their listening microphone into our conference telephone room and stream the voices out, just as almost every radio broadcaster does today. I mean,
well,
those people are broadcasting.
Okay, the catch there.
Anyway,
we want to be able to do this ourselves.
I know you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're looking for what's possible to do exactly what you're suggesting, but to do it in with tools that anybody can access and run on the spur of the moment. I think we've developed this protocol just now because we're all confused by it, but Jeff's solution has actually worked. And that is it's got me, John, and Jeff in the same conversation talking to one another, and a dog and a cat. but it's working. I mean, you know, this is the wonderful thing about learning together and world bridges, you know, learning together with world bridges is that we learn about these things. And, of course, another really interesting thing would be to bring the iPad into the mix, which has its own set of audio echoes. I might try that if I get very brave in a moment. But yeah, and there's Robert's tablet. Okay, so
with my Skype.
Your Hangout is there. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, with his Skype. You're Skyping. That would have been something I could have done. Oh yeah. Okay. So you're Skyping through the tablet. And conversing there. You're talking to us on the tablet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I am Skyping with my smartphone.
Uh-huh.
That is my audio device. And that's working out all right.
Yeah, Skype would have worked just fine on my iPad. So, but anyway, I just happen to have this other computer sitting here. So, well, that's another thing. That's another reality is that... in the past, you used to have a computer and a telephone, but now we have multiple devices which can double as telephones, and so, you know, there's all kinds of things are becoming possible, and I think this evening we've worked out one possibility, one formula that's actually working.
My feeling is that since the simplest, lowest common denominator, not possibly all the time per price, is that anybody that wants to listen or talk on the phone, if they have Skype, they could come into the phone room and you don't have to worry whether it's going to hang out or not. It's the next leap that's the hard one. So you don't have nine different places that you can hear it because everybody's got a lag time problem. But if they can call for free and then watch things on the computer, I mean, shouldn't there be some central telephone place? Why should Skype have to call 18 numbers when 18 numbers can call one? Each person can use their Skype to call the phone room and listen via Skype in the phone room.
Well, I think that works well for teleconferences. like I was saying, you know, the systems that are set up for phone conferencing do that quite easily. The systems that are like Google Plus Hangout don't do it at all. And I can't think of something that bridges it. I guess like a GoToMeeting maybe would let you kind of do that, where there is a phone-in number and people could join by computer with video as well.
Well, I mean, I guess part of the dilemma is there are so many ways to view, and people do like to view. They do like the text chat room. They do like it free, and they do like it convenient. But there has to be, on some things, and there's got to be, you know, I used to ask, well, how much does it cost to have a phone call from anywhere in the world that we're only going to talk for 20 minutes? And most people would say, well, maybe it'll cost $10. But we would spend 5 or 6 geeks would spend an hour trying to figure out how to do something. Like we weren't worth $10 an hour, or $5 or $2. And anyway, it's here. I mean, but I don't see how you're, I mean, that's my point. I think that, I really do think that in order for this to be convenient, there must be a way for an ordinary listener to just pick up the phone and dial a number. And if he's charged, he's charged. And if he has, what's the world's cheapest universal net communication tool? Is it Skype? Isn't it Skype? Don't more people have Skype than almost anything else?
Via telephone, yes. Uh-huh.
Via telephone.
Well, I mean, you can. I use Skype a lot to call telephones of people of relatives who don't, and also, you know, to resolve problems with corporations, you know, whom I have to call a long distance. So I'll use Skype for that. But you know, even a dollar, let alone $10, is not going to bring people into conversations like this, where there's really no, you know, I mean, the people who are here because they're free. I mean, they are free. What I mean is they're not busy right now, and Robert doesn't look very busy there. But you know, they're not going to join us if they have to pay. Rita might have a different theory, because they say in Argentina that if you don't pay, nobody comes. Isn't that true, Rita?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Don't talk. I mean, don't make me speak about this country. This is terrible, a situation here.
Yeah, they tend to, they don't think it's valuable unless they pay. But there are many cultures and many, you know, many ways to approach this problem. But really, you know, we have learned something tonight. Jeff actually did a bit of magic there. It's just the problem that I had was, and Robert, was that we didn't understand how the system worked. So we were getting audio from Hangout and from Skype. But once we resolved that problem, everything is fine. So, this is then a way that we can convene an event like this one that we normally do convene, and we actually had a real situation in that John was actually not able to join the Hangout. So we're here. We got him here. So,
hi Rita. I guess my point is that if you're building a rocket ship, and it's fun to fly it in the early days, and you've got to do a lot of testing, that's one thing. But if you're building a communication vehicle that is so standard, it's like getting on the bus, and anybody can get on the bus from anywhere, that's another kind of vehicle. We don't worry about when we turn on the TV, it just works. We don't worry when we turn on the radio, it just works. We don't worry when we pick up the phone, it just works.
I don't know. Some of my remote controls on the TV are pretty complex these days, and
I
think that's
right. They are. No, that's true. And then the DVD recordings and all that stuff, and they are complex. There's no question.
But I get a lot more.
But as you increase the complexity, you decrease your audience size. Well, it depends on what your audience is. That's true. I mean, if your audience is interested in doing the most forward thinking communication technology and hearing how we, there's definitely an audience for that. There's definitely an audience to come in here and look at my new website and look at all the things we can do with these wonderful tools. That's absolutely certain. But it's never going to build an audience that's going to be the size of television or even good radio or the World Cup.
I don't know. Have you seen YouTube views lately?
Well, yeah, YouTube, you know, YouTube comes darn close. And certainly when you add in the audience size of the views from the archives, then you've quintupled your possibilities. And your advertisers really love it. That's why they don't mind so much some of the DVR stuff or the YouTube stuff. Sure. Sure, it's a tremendously powerful convenience though. I just think that the ESL community is a very important and large community and has its own worth, and I've loved it because I've thought for years and years that those people teaching inside those classrooms, the teachers and the learners, are the movers and shakers of tomorrow, and they're connected to them. So that's my reason for wanting to be in the ESL community. But now, the community that I would like to be a part of is an advocacy community. And that could be the advocacy by a distance education like MOOCs, or it could be advocacy for a green climate, or it could be for violence against women, or 10,000 advocacy courses, advocacy things. So, and what we found in the old days, and you guys find, is you attract tremendously important, intelligent people that have something to say, and they say it very well when they're ready for it. And when you can say, listen, all you have to do is have your thoughts recorded on the telephone or played or listen there. We want to talk to you. We don't want to just see you. We want to talk to, you know, Tom Friedman, or we want to talk to Sir John, you know, we want to talk to the gurus. We want to talk to Vance Stevens. That's who we want to talk to.
We want to talk to John Hibbs as well. You know, for the benefit of people here, Maria Colusa has joined us. She has a powder outage, she says. She must have a generator because she's still in the chat. Peggy George is also in the text chat. And, of course, Rita is here. And Robert Walkman. And before I've mentioned, know who John is. John is somebody who ran for many years something called Global Learn Day, which were 24-hour events that were quite impressive at the time. And he patched things together through some of the tools he's talking about. These were about the turn of the century. I'm not sure when you did the last one, John. Do you know the year?
About 2002 or 2003, almost. Well, I would say we did it for 8 or 9 years, and essentially what happened is we just ran out of gas putting it together because all the magic had come out of it. And I don't think any of us understood that some of the tools we had that finally crapped out on us, that I had to pay good money for, but some of the tools made you a Facebook page instantly and allowed you to make a phone call to make your recording. And the recording was uploaded immediately. And it allowed any of those recordings to go out by what we today would call a Twitter feed. If you were on somebody's alert page and they made a recording, they immediately got, I didn't really know how far in the future we were. You could upload your photograph to your page. You could upload 3 links to your page. You could upload your biography, your text biography. And you had a pretty nice page for free. And then we could get people, speakers in, and I think we got most of our speakers who we had to say, all you have to do is make a phone call. And I still think that that's the most powerful invitation you can give to anybody, whether it's the chancellor of a university or the governor of the state or the biggest wheel in town. All you've got to do is make a phone call.
We were talking earlier before the program, John and I were, And I've made one of those phone calls at one of my presentations, I think actually in a couple of years. We did them, that would have been the late 1990s, probably 98, 99. But we did a couple of presentations from the Military Language Institute, where I was working at the time. And the people went to offices and used the telephone. We had access to them. We could pay for them. Nobody, you know, the company paid. But that wasn't really ideal itself, although it was easy to connect using the telephone. And that was at a time when I remember you were starting to use real media to stream. I remember one time making a phone call and people were listening to it on real media, real media player, and that was one of the first tools you used to stream your audio. So at a time when it wasn't really possible to talk over the internet, this was a good way to work. But at the moment, I mean, the way things are now, I find it rather difficult to make phone calls. I do have a landline here somewhere, but, you know, frankly, I don't even know off the top of my head the number of the landline because I just don't use it that much. And I know my mobile telephone number. With smartphones, you can do as Jeff is doing. He's Skyping from his mobile telephone, and Robert, of course, a lot of us have tablets, iPads, Android devices, things like that. So it's possible to make phone calls, but not necessarily people's choice at the moment, or it's kind of difficult. I think some of us have stepped into the area where, as I mentioned, I don't really use my landline. If it rings, I know it's my wife because she's the only one who knows the number. So, yeah, so we're kind of in this era now. I don't know what people think about in the text chat. If they think Peggy is saying interesting points about the phone call. So I don't know.
I mean, the technology is always evolving, right? And it's always changing. And, I mean, I think the important part is the what, not the how. You know, whether you're connecting by phone or by Hangout or whatever people are using in the 22nd century, what are you going to do with it? And I think that's where the magic happens. You know, I think it is nice to be able to give people a phone number to call. I think some of the tools and also the finances of that have changed. You know, because if you're giving someone a phone number from outside the country, well, that's going to cost money, whereas I can, Skype. I can start Skype on my mobile phone or I can do a Google Plus Hangout on my phone.
Right, I mean, first of all, I want to go back a step to tell you where we got the biggest audiences of all. We got it through a radio broadcasting station in Dublin that took our that was willing to pay their pound of a few pence a minute for the radio station to pay to get into the phone room and then to broadcast live their talk radio to their regular radio listeners, and they had every Sunday morning about 8,000 listeners. Now, the community radio stations always reach a hell of a lot more people than through all of these devices. And then my idea was, well, that we got the lead speakers to think in radio terms and to be able to pick, to be able to convey their message about why they were talking to you, like from the sermon from the pulpit, but in a panel, and could talk and could listen on the radio. Our audiences were large, and we were influencing people to then move into the net or move into these other sequences. So I think I have to push back on Vance and say, well, what you do, Vance, is a long way from what an Irish taxi cab driver does or an Argentine human being or anybody in the forward-thinking market. So if they and our stations, that we had about five stations that didn't broadcast in real time, but they broadcast later through their radio. And we never, that came toward the end of when we got tired of it because there wasn't any money in it. But I think the concept of using those old tools that are reaching large numbers of people, the largest we ever had by far was we had a really smart guy in India,
and he plugged us into the largest TV station in India, and I think we had 300,000 or 400,000 people that watched us on a broadcast. He was in his studio talking to us, but the television studio was there. I mean,
I can remember that, John.
Yeah.
I do remember your voyages. Yeah, I do.
And he was reaching, I think he told us, I forgot what his name was. Anyway, I think he said he had an audience, a smaller audience by Indian standards, of a couple hundred thousand people.
Do you have recordings a lot of the Global Learn Day stuff, John?
Well, we did record. We recorded, I think we recorded everything we could and then managed to lose it, and websites went down and everything changed on it. But those concepts, and today, given the skills that you guys have, it's incredible skills. If you bring it to the advocacy world, I think that your skills are so much more valuable. I mean, before this conversation began, I was trying to interest Jeff and Vance into the idea, or to think about, a platform, a physical platform, where you don't have to be, because it would all be there, like the Queen Mary in Los Angeles. I'm talking to people that have space on the Queen Mary for events, and I'm talking to people that are holding events, what they call 1 Billion Rising. It's Violence Day, V-Day, and they have been doing it for 14 years, and they reach millions, and their tagline is 1 billion rising. But they don't really have it down slick as to how to put them all together at one time. And they are changing the world of how people thinking about violence against women. And for a long time, as Vance knows, I've thought that the 21st century will belong to girls and women. So it all just seems like there's a confluence of events if we get the platforms all right.
I wish Peggy were in the conversation, because she's part of a movement. Steve,
she's part of every movement.
Yes. Well, I know John has tried to put Steve and Webheads together, but Steve, of course, has his network, of which, and Peggy is a broadcaster on that network. And I'm sure, for example, through that, through Classroom 2.0 and all of Steve's many efforts, goes into ResCon. John and I presented at one of the conferences, the GEC, Global Education Conference. And so, you know, these things have a lot of outreach. And I'm not aware, maybe Peggy can put something in the text chat or join us, but I don't know if they use radio. I don't know. Is there a radio component? Because I think if you look at the people who are really getting phenomenal amounts of traffic on their sites, they're probably using social sites. And there are, as Jeff mentioned, YouTube earlier. This seems to be the way to reach people, is to, you know, build yourself up. Build up your effort. Yes, go ahead.
I do think it's a really interesting point about radio and TV. And personally, I'm surprised that social media hasn't invaded that more. And I suspect it has to do with commercial interests. That, you know, commercial radio stations can't afford to have these long, you know, no one would put us on without commercial breaks, and we wouldn't fit into, you know, what radio station would play this for an hour? Very few, because it's a niche audience. And a lot of the conversations sort of are niche, and I don't know why that hasn't happened. But it's still, I mean, the radio and TV reach lots of people, and especially with TV, where you have 500 channels on cable or whatever and nothing to watch. And there's been some, but not as much as I would have expected of the merger between social media conversations and traditional broadcasting.
I can tell you.
Go ahead, Vance, I'm sorry.
Oh, just one thing, and that is my use of radio especially radio, my use of radio is when I have no internet connection. if I'm between cities, I will listen to the radio in my car. Often I'll listen to a podcast, something recorded, or an audio book, but if there's a news program on or something that I want to hear on the radio, I'll listen to it. But otherwise, I would tend to get my media through the internet. Ah, Peggy has joined us. Wonderful. I hope you're in Skype.
I invited her in Skype. I asked her, and she didn't say yes or no, so I assume that meant yes.
She appeared here in the Hangout, I think. No, that was on Skype. I'm sorry, I'm getting an overlay. I'm getting confused. Yeah, she's in Skype. I'm getting an overlay of my Skype notices. No, yes. Oh, well, I've seen it. I know. I've seen Jeff's screenshot. That's what's confusing me. Jeff is working with mirrors here. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt John. I said I would just make my point and hand over the mic. Well, so go ahead, John.
There's two kind of larger, excuse me, there's two larger points. The first larger point is we all know that we are in a sharing economy world. I just finished a book called Zero Marginal Cost Economy, that things are going to come down in price just because so many things are available on a shared basis. The most visible and most wonderful example for every traveler in the world is Airbnb, like Air Mattress Bed and Breakfast, which is a five-year-old company which is now worth $10 billion, and they have simply decided that they can get, they actually have more rooms available from ordinary people with homes around the world than the five largest hotel companies in the world. And they're getting a lot of pushback because they don't have some of the regulations that work for hotel. We've seen it with Uber. We've seen it with Lyft. We've seen it with bicycle sharing. So how are we going to share in a platform that is very easily accessible wherever you are? A shared taxi cab. Isn't that wonderful? You walk out of the street and you can find somebody that's driving around in his car a lot cheaper than you can a yellow cab. That is just going to overtake the world. The advocacy, the social network people, but they're very proud to get 500 or 600 or 700 people into a webinar, but what about when they have a really major event? Like on V-Day, which has been doing it on Valentine's Day for violence against the women, and because they organize it in a decentralized way, so that people around the world at 6 o'clock at night, their time, are lighting a fire. But how do you turn that into an event that millions watch? Not everyone in lifetime, but everybody hears about it because they also get an enormous amount of television, a local television coverage of the event there. So it's a combination of all of these that all of a sudden you get things that are very big, very large. And I said the one component that I have missed, is, well, why don't we have a platform that everybody knows where it is? The platform is not someplace in cyberspace, but it's a great big, we said we're going to meet at the Empire State Building, or we're going to meet on the Eiffel Tower, or we're going to meet at the Taj Mahal, or we're going to meet on the Queen Mary. Okay, let's go to the Queen Mary, and maybe we can even physically meet there. And I think that the Queen Mary is the kind of place that is wide open to an advocacy group and saying we'd like to run an award ceremony. And regular, why shouldn't the Queen Mary be also a radio station, an internet radio station? Because they haven't quite melded the physical with the social networking, with the radios, with the TV. And you guys all have the skills to do it.
I see. You've got a good point, John. And in Global Learn Day, you used to sail this wonderful metaphorical ship around the world, and everybody imagined this thing traveling around the world and crossing continents as well. It was a platform, but it doesn't have to be a place that you have to go there, because if you depend on people having to go to one place, that's going to be, I mean, conferences have this problem, not everybody can go to them. So, but that's a good idea. I like the idea of envisaging a platform. And even maybe if someone were in Long Beach, they could possibly.
They would do it. One or two people that are in Long Beach would say, I'm sitting on the Queen Mary. And at any one time on the Queen Mary, they already have an audience of 1,000 or two people that are just there staying in a hotel room and looking at something different and so forth. They've got a, they're not organizing it for our conference. They just happen to be around there. So you could take video cameras and you could do a number of stuff. But I think you have to have something that's large physically and easily accessible platforms to say you can visit us from anywhere in the world or you can come. You know, we'll book a room for you. I just think that the opportunities have never been larger than today.
Yes, that's true. And things being actually, I mean, you were a groundbreaker. You were a pioneer at the turn of the century, last century, when you started Global Learn Day. And that I have to give you credit for the Web Ads in Action online convergences through inspiration, because that's where I envisaged that it could be done. And I really admired your work, doing this, as you say, what, about 10 years, a decade? You 9 years, I think you said.
Well, we started it 20 years. We started it 20 years ago. 1994 was our first event. Or maybe it was 1995. We're coming up on 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I frankly didn't know how capable the people of the world said we can do all this. Don't worry.
Yeah. So, well, that's what I decided too, and maybe even what Jeff has done, and it's just things come together. You just sort of seed something, and then it grows. People just come together and do it. And Peggy does a lot of that on Classroom 2.0, and in Steve Hargiven's network as well. And people just sort of take it off and do it. So, yes, right now, for example, we are talking to half a dozen people here, and that's not a huge impact. No telling who will listen to our program after it's played, and there might be some people in the stream as well, but it's not a very large audience. But we do it every week, and we're trying to reach educators in a similar way that Jeff is probably more successful with all his World Bridges channels. I'm not sure. How many people do you think you impact, Jeff? Did you put a number on it?
Handfuls.
Handfuls. I love it. What an answer.
Yeah. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. I am talking to a guy that has been running an event called Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. I'm so excited I could come out of a tree, because for the last 3 years I've been beating a dead horse. I don't want to get into that. But I love the image. I love the image that they have of a high heel shoe. He's a shoe salesman, and his shoe business went overseas to China, and he started selling big shoes to drag queens. And then he found out about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, which put size 12 shoes on women, on men, who were willing to walk a mile in her shoes. And that has now run, and they've reached over a million people in their 14 years. Now, they're still they're backwards on social media. They're really backwards. Oh, they're on TV. They haven't figured out that their real customer is the university campus, who can't afford to not have a better reputation than they've got. And because of my work with V-Day, and now these guys will Walk a Mile in Her Shoes in a physical event that has a compelling vision. You can imagine what the vision is. Here's a high heel stiletto shoe, and underneath it's the tagline, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It doesn't take much of an imagination, less imagination than Nike, just do it in their shoe. But this Walk a Mile in Her Shoes in V-Day, if it's organized like Airbnb got it organized, it will be a household name in a few years. And especially if there's a physical place where it's broadcast from all the time, which is only one or two persons doing it. Give me a room on the Queen Mary, and we'll be broadcasting every wedding or anything else that comes through there. But there's a confluence of things that are now possible because of the internet. And if we only think in tiny little increments, but those guys that are running Airbnb or that ran Facebook, or they saw things that we never saw. They monetized everything. And for the Queen Mary, what would monetize them is they sell a lot of rooms to that place. They sell a lot of weddings. So they have a serious inducement that somebody comes to them with a large and worthy audience. I think it's a lot easier to sell advocacy or education and MOOCs. I could see a MOOC channel on being broadcast out of there or through there, and they put it up in the, sometimes up in the bar TV. You know, it would be all linked together on an ocean liner that never moves. Remember, the Queen Mary never moves out of Long Beach anymore.
I did spend a very nice night on the Queen Mary. I'm just wondering, we haven't heard from Robert or Rita, and we've covered a wide array of topics. I'm wondering if they have anything to chime in with.
You bet. Come on, Rita.
And Rita, we do see your video on Skype, which is very nice. You must be some kind of premium Skype user, because the rest of us aren't allowed.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, but anyhow, thank you very much, Jeff.
Well, Skype just likes you. We all like you.
Being able, it's really a pleasure to be here sharing all these views with you all, and especially with John. Van seems to be gone.
Well, since Jeff mentioned it, I just clicked the share the video button.
Oh, you're back. Oh, yeah. All right. I was saying that I can't remember John's voyages because I joined him about 20 years ago, I think it was. And it was such a pleasure and such a thrilling experience to be, to be sharing, because he was a pioneer. John, you were a pioneer. I do remember this thrill that we felt by being able to contact people from every spot in the world 20 years ago. It was amazing. So, and I can understand what you mean and what you feel, and I know how, well, you say you're old. I mean, it hasn't got to do with that. I guess that you're not old, you're right, and you're always trying to be updated in everything, so I admire your dedication. And I do think that you were a pioneer in what you really wanted the world to become, that is sharing. But you started the sharing 20 years ago. And now I think that everything has evolved into something different, and that the social media, as Vance was saying, is exactly what is going on right now. And even though we might not agree with many of its platforms, because you know, Vance, I don't like Facebook, for example, even though we might not like Facebook, which is my case, I think that it has a tremendous impact on everybody, because I do believe that most of the people in the world are in Facebook, and for some reason, it makes them feel this feeling of belonging to a community, of being connected and socializing and telling silly things mostly, and which I don't like, but I can understand that many people do. Anyway, going back to John, I do believe that John was a pioneer, and I admire his work and his point of view.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I don't want to be a pioneer. It was no good to fly the Wright brothers' airplane if everybody died in it. But eventually, people started getting into a modern aircraft and would go across the world. So that part has been proven, and the GED is proven. And MOOCs will change the universities. Don't think they won't. Universities will be dramatically affected by massive open online education for free, and that's. It's going to take another 15 or 20 years before you will see the impact on the landscape itself. But today it's a lot easier to see. I think it was easy for, as soon as I was on the internet, I've always felt the killer application of the internet was education. I still believe it that way. If the killer application is education, then what where is education the most needed? And if you look around the world where education is the most needed, it's needed for equal opportunity for young girls that still in most of the world are left behind and are violated. So when I see that there's an organization out there called 1 Billion Rising that's been doing events, and I see what Webheads is about, advance on the every Sunday deal, because now I know that they're real. These are things are real, so it's not hard to go to the people that have the physical space and say there's a team of us that can bring all of this together, especially for advocacy groups. That there's a home for it, and the home should be, I've always felt it should be in a radio station that also sells rooms. So, I mean, Jeff went on the Queen Mary. It's really an experience. And I can't believe that Airbnb hasn't linked up with the Queen Mary yet. There must be some reason it hasn't. But they have castles and they have all these other things. So far what's missing is a large advocacy group that says our headquarters are in the Empire State Building. And once every week we have a man that's in our control booth. It's a sheer, once all those tools are in one place. I mean, I always thought that Global Learn Day should be run like Mission Control, but there should be a whole bunch of people that are in a room that have a bunch of computer screens, because they can talk to each other. That's the broadest band of all. They just tap the guy on the shoulder and say, what are you looking at? But those things, there's an affordability cost. But it's never been more exciting or more visionary than today. That was in the old days. What can we do today that would really have impact?
Yeah, and what can we do? I mean, it seems to me that putting, you know, getting the Queen Mary is going to have costs. I mean, just, you know, having someone there. I find it very difficult to sit in my own home and, you know, and putting on Learning Together. And I'm sure Jeff is pretty consumed with his projects as well.
I don't believe that, Vance. I think that the person that puts that together and has the person, they're going to increase room occupancy for the Queen Mary. They're going to talk Queen Mary's logic, which is how many rooms did we fill, how many weddings did we sell, how many things did we do that improved our audience awareness of what we're doing. That's the commercial application. All we've had to sell is the knowledge that we were communicating. But we didn't have a place where a destination point that people would come to. So the trade-off should be, if you can do this and use this as your headquarters to reach millions of people during the year, will we give you the room? And of course they would. I mean, I think there has to be a talking point. There has to be, everybody wins in that situation. That's what the sharing economy has done.
I would love to partner with you if you move to the Queen Mary and set up such a space. That would be great. But,
I've got to go in there with a resume that says, these are the people. I want to ask you, Vance, what's your PhD going to be about? This is a little bit more private, but I want to take your resume and Vance's resume and our history into the Queen Mary and the V-Days and say, one of us would like to, I would love to live on the Queen Mary, believe me, and give me a little tiny room. It's a big, beautiful place to operate out of.
Robert, what's your
I haven't
your take
said
on?
Very much because I have an echo.
I'm sorry, I have to interject. I'm just about to run out of Skype credits, which means we're going to lose John. I'm going to get some more credits, but John, if we lose you, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
I'm
so
sure
confused
how long we should.
What's going on here? I'm going to mute my Skype and see what happens.
Okay, but you're talking to us in Skype. Well, yeah, if you mute Skype, that might help as long as you can talk to us through Skype. No, I see your mouth moving. Something bad happened.
So now you can hear me?
Now we can hear you, yeah.
But why do I hear an echo?
It must be coming from the Hangout.
Okay, well, yeah, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Because my listening is through the computer, which has the headphones set up, and that's where my image is.
Okay. Now, but you're doing Skype on your iPad, is that right?
Right.
Why don't you take the headphones out of, well, then you hear it on your computer. You could mute your computer and put the headphones into your iPad and listen there.
No, the headphones are USB. There's no connection.
Ooh. Ah, Steve Jobs didn't think of that. Ah. Right. Or he did and rejected it.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how long we want to continue this. How's everybody feeling?
I need to go fairly soon, but I would like to get John back in to say hello and goodbye.
Oh, okay. Did John? Did we lose? Oh, we lost
Skype
John
credit.
Because
it's flashing.
Uh-oh.
It says not enough Skype credit.
And I'm sorry, I need to leave, guys.
Okay, well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your invitation, Vance. It's been a pleasure as usual. It's been a pleasure to see you after so long, Jeff. Really
indeed.
Pleasure.
Been too long. And, I hope we don't have to wait so long again this time.
Yeah, yeah, true. I need to join you more often, yeah. And, it's been nice to meet John again after so long, 20 years, I think. Well, anyway, bye, everybody. We'll be in contact. Bye, Vance. Thank you for your invitation, and see you anytime.
Well, I'd like to thank John for goading this into this event, because, you know, he has interesting ideas, and it's fun to talk about them. I'm not sure if you know how practical they are, but on the other hand, they give us more ideas, you know, so that you can think about how his idea can translate. You know, there's this element of it makes a lot of sense. So is John in the conversation now? He's not with us on Skype.
What's that?
Yeah, but anyway, this is all being recorded. So,
again, bye, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye, Richard. Okay. Well, this is a learning together session for August 10th, 2014, and we've been talking with tour. Three or even more of the pioneers of the last decade or two of online learning, starting with John Hibbs, who for 9 years ran right at the turn of the century, before any of us were doing this, ran a global Learn Day, whereby he got hundreds of people from around the world to sort of move with the sun, you know, just kind of go around the world and give 24 hours of presentations, and he stayed up all the time for it. And at that time, he had various ways of connecting people and various funding sources, and including a radio station in Dublin. And so I'm not sure when Jeff started World Bridges. I know that I remember that Booth connected with you about that time. Was it 2006, something like that?
2005.
2005. Okay.
Started doing
here's John. Yeah. But you're calling John now.
Hi, Jim. I wanted you to know, everybody, I was in the text room and I was listening to the stream just fine.
Okay. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm.
So you heard nice things we were saying about you?
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the future. I don't think there's. Quite frankly, I like to repeat it. I don't see that there's anything very unusual about all the models that are there for us for the pickings. And it's just, if it's not the Queen Mary, there's the USS United States, and there's some castles, and there's some other places that would be
ideal. I thought for a while these $2 or $3 million fraternity houses that were empty and idle in the summertime would be there for the pickings, but they got the wrong people running them. But the Queen Mary is just, I think it's just there for the pickings. If I said we have a team of people that know how to do these things very well.
You know, part of the reason things happen, I mean, there has to be a certain organic nature of the way events evolve. And like for Vance or me to become the liaison to Queen Mary doesn't seem that organic. It seems like there's plenty of people in Southern California who care about V-Day and are into web stuff, and connecting with those people for an event on Queen Mary would be how that would happen.
Well, it's true, but those organizers, they're also busy, and I think that they're, and they have a fairly large employed staff, and I think you have to believe in their cause, and I never found a role for me in MOOCs, but I could certainly see a role for me in an advocacy group. But maybe I don't know what turns you on. I mean, what would you like to do if you go walk down the beach and kick the bottle and the genie pops out and says, Jeff, what do you want to do for the rest of your life?
Well, and I mean, I think that's where. To me, Vance, when you were offline, Vance was saying you challenge sort of the current assumption about technology. And for me, the question isn't about the technology. It's about, for those of us who have a passion about facilitating conversations, global or otherwise, and sharing them and broadening them, it's what do you want to do with those conversations? And I personally wouldn't say, you know, I go to the V-Day events here in Pusan, and I agree that, you know, women, I think the role of women in this century are key. For me, it's not about a particular cause. It's about giving a room for that conversation to find its listeners and to bridge those groups and to build connections and see what happens. So I certainly, I mean, I entirely support your efforts, and I think it's a great idea, but it's your baby. And you've got the passion, so you have to be the one to, you know, get that ball rolling.
Well, I'm going to do that, and I think that I have learned more from the commentary that is written up on Airbnb and why Airbnb is serving such an incredibly important communication void that's out there. All those people checking into the Marriott Hotel are getting a room. All those people that are going to check in with Jeff LeBeau in Tucson are going to get an experience, and they're going to get it cheaper. So that's kind of the sharing economy. When you go in a taxi cab driver and he's a Pakistani car carrier, he'll get you from A to B.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's on board with that plan, by the way, but if
Jeff LeBeau picks you up in his private car and he's taking you someplace on the way, he says, by the way, I'm a graduate student at the University of Seoul, and when I'm coming back, I'm going to do this. There's a conversation, there's an experience that people don't have. So it's an experiential point of view. And if they can imagine that, I mean, I just think that the world has gotten so much smaller, but it's also gotten more terribly diffuse. And that's the reason we're having all the violence and we overthrew the dictators, and we didn't know when we picked up the rock there was a bunch of scorpions underneath it. And the scorpions it's harder to control the scorpions than it was to control Saddam Hussein. We're just now finding that out. So what's the counter to the scorpions? More people getting together virtually and more people getting together physically.
Well, one thing about Airbnb or couch surfing, or hitchhiking for that matter, with similar experience, you can buy a bus ticket, but you could also stand by the side of the road and meet people. That was always interesting when it was safe. These attract people who are going places, and that's the problem with the Queen Mary, is that it's in a static location, and it's hard to attract people, say, if you're doing Airbnb, you can't say, come to my place. You have to catch people as where they're going. And it's an interesting idea to have a metaphor, you know, or a base that could sometimes, if someone gets by Long Beach, there are TESOL conferences there. I've been on the Queen Mary because there was a TESOL conference there. I probably wouldn't just go to Long Beach if there wasn't something else happening, but if, you know, there's an event or people are attracted there, then it would work to have the Queen Mary is an interesting place. One way to solve the problem of catching people where they happen to be is you put the Queen Mary on a website, or you create it in Second Life or in Minecraft, and you attract people, you know, as they're moving about, as we are here, or as people are going about learning, practicing their learning experiences. People can pass by the Queen Mary wherever you happen to be. So if your blog, I'm thinking really, John, of the metaphor of the ship that used to travel the world every year for 9 years at a certain time of year. This ship you'd start writing about it, and you had pictures of it. It's a big sailing ship. It was quite exciting when the ship took off and traveled around the world. So it was a really good metaphor. There's something that,
wouldn't it have been better if the ship actually was going around the world and the broadcast was coming off the ship, and you said this particular day, on this particular day that we run it happens to be going from the South China Sea from Bangkok to Hong Kong, but it wouldn't improve it. But that's not nearly as important as how many people are on the Queen Mary that would like a dance lesson that's provided by an instructor from Argentina on the tango, and you put it on a big screen for the people that are coming through there. How much more do you add to the audience that they're already getting, which is 1,000 or 2 people a day, by letting them know when they're wandering around that these kinds of things are going on all the time? Aren't they feeding each other enormously? I mean, why would you have your wedding anywhere if you couldn't webcast your wedding? You don't have to come to my wedding, but don't worry, we're going to be on, if you point your browser here or you point your phone here, you'll see us on our wedding and we'll share our pictures on Instagram, but there'll be 30 or 40 people here on the ship, but another 100 or 150 that we wanted to invite, but we couldn't afford to have them come, or they couldn't come. Doesn't it work both ways?
I wish Peggy were in this conversation. She's made some interesting points in the text chat, talking about the Future of Museums conference that Steve Hargan hosted last month. And museums is quite interesting as far as the learning experience is concerned. I mean, ships is one kind of learning experience. There are projects or scientific projects, let's say, go to Antarctica and broadcast from the ship, and people do tune in and find out what's going on there. But
you bet, you bet. I met a globe maker who was making globes, and he's very well connected with all of the places that he sold globes around the world. And I went and talked to him about all those places that are museums are destinations for people, but they're also perfect platforms for people that come in there to say, on Wednesday night we're having a conversation about so-and-so that's being webcast, but for the people in the local community, if you want to have a little wine and cheese, come in and see us. And maybe 10 or 15 people show up. Doesn't matter about the physical audience so much as it matters. It's a real, it's a touchy-feely thing. I mean, I met a lot of people at Webheads personally, and that just cemented my views of them. How many people have you met because of your broadcast? And how many more would you meet if in your daily course of business you had a new, every day there was a whole new crowd? You know, what did Oscar Wilde say? You didn't need new jokes, you needed a new audience.
Yeah, I find when I go out and give talks that the audience that, like, for example, here in the UAE, audiences are sometimes a little bit more receptive at TESOL conferences, even then the conference is so big that people who come to your talk are going to have self-selected to go there. They want to hear what you have to say. But let's say you go to a conference here where you are the presenter for a conference of several hundred people for that hour. People don't really relate to what you're saying so well. The people who relate are the people who happen by in the online audience or record our or listen to our recordings. And so when you go, what I'm saying is when you take your message to a place where the people are not necessarily predisposed to care about it, or under, you know, the, if you're hitting them cold, then it's a different thing than if you are attracting people to come there, you know, people who are passing by in the night as they are here in this hangout, or if you're on a ship that's doing a scientific project or a spaceship for that matter, you'll get people coming to check out what you're doing because there's something interesting going on there and they're interested in that thing. But if you actually took your spaceship to a place, you may or may not attract people to it. This just depends. I don't know if...
My proposition to the Queen Mary is, what value am I adding to your ship? How much value am I adding? Not by how much we reduce violence to women, but that's a consequence that's going to come to it. But how much does this kind of capability have for all the people that are holding conferences on your ship, which is constant all the time, that they can plug into the Queen Mary webcast platform that lets them do these things automatically and easily and with a go-to meeting and all of the rest of it for there? How much value do they see as these geeks that put together all this stuff and live it? That's the value that I see for them. They're not in the business. They are not in the business of teaching anybody anything. Oh, well, sometimes I think they give bridge lessons and they give dancing lessons and they do that kind of stuff, and that you could incorporate it into it.
I think I'm going to have to call a stop because Robert has to go. Jeff, he's in Pusan, and it's very late for him there. 12:30, it's after midnight there.
It is Monday morning already, and work approaches.
Yeah, you guys got to go.
But it's always great.
I want you guys especially, but anybody who writes me, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And that's why I wanted to find out about your PhD. So
I think we're talking about my PhD. So all this fits into it. But
answer to that question is the same that I used to answer after you. You know, as you're a senior in university and all your parents' friends start saying, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? And my response was always, oh, you mean what am I going to do next? You know, it's
right.
Deciding what you're going to do in your life, that's intimidating. Right. What were you going to do next?
All the people who are asking me what I'm going to do are dead already. So whatever, I must be doing something right, eh?
Oh, but John, really good. I enjoy this conversation. I enjoy the challenge that you place to, the technology part of it, but also the content and the passion and what do we want to do? And so I'm glad you made this happen.
Yeah, you're a broadening influence and someone we look up to, and you led the way, and you're still leading us. You're still pointing us to the future, and I really like that. So I'm glad we had
some of the future's still in the past because the community radio and PBS and British Broadcasting proves it every day. There's still a big market for the radio, and if we aren't plugged into that with something to say, then we really don't have much to say. If we aren't being picked up by PBS with something interesting, then we're interesting to 20 people or 30 people every Sunday, or 100 people or 200 people, but we're not interested to the PBS audience. And I think that's a shame, because you guys have so many things you could offer. I don't. I'm just a barker outside the tent, but I want to work for a big tent, or people that have big tents. But I'm not the tent guy. I'm just the barker outside the front door.
Keep barking.
Circuses need barkers, they need tents, they need all kinds of people, and we really appreciate getting your ideas. They have a lot of stature with us, so I'm sure with people who listen to this recording.
Hey, Jeff, you got to go to bed, and it's already 8:00 at night for Vance. It's great talking to you, and I thanks for.
And I hope you get to take a nap. It sounds like you didn't sleep much last night.
Oh, I couldn't. You know, it's not like Global Learn Day again. I'm not prepared for it. What am I going to think about? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? And the ideas just keep coming and rumbling over me all the time. And it's worse than it was 20 years ago because the vision is so much easier. It's all being done. It was one thing when it wasn't being done, but today it's all there. And everybody, I mean, anybody that's got any sort of, you guys have more brain power than I know of anybody, except a couple of the people that started with me, Blaine Berger, and those guys, they've gone on to bigger and better money things. They just got tired of working for nothing for Global Learn Day. But it's Airbnb is everywhere. The sharing economy is everywhere. So how are people collaborating? And Vance is the one that told me we live in the age of collaboration. He was exactly right. So how are we collaborating together to benefit myself, me? I need the job.
Some explanations in Clay Shirky, what's the one, Cognitive Surplus, and then Jeff Jarvis, What Would Google Do? These people, Seth Godin, Tribes, explaining how movements are led, how leaders don't have charisma to begin with. They get charisma through leading these events. So there's lots of changes going on that you can read about, and I get some ideas on that. But that's a very good point, and that's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit. So, yeah, it would be nice to move off of the square and do something more impactful. I'm not really sure how to go about that, but maybe my my studies will be.
You know, all those mind games and all those puzzles and all those contests, that's all so amazing stuff. And I'm missing it out because I my own physical community is fairly small. So I'd like to have a new audience every day, and then I could go out and tell them my old jokes and get a laugh.
Well, we've got to let Jeff go to bed. He's switched off the light there.
All right, good night. Jeff, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, very nice talking to you, gentlemen.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for your credit, Jeff. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for patching us together.
Bye, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.